praying. Brother Branham was standing behind the elements of communion as they were being administered. He said he could not leave them to pray with the man at the altar. Please explain. I sent the associate, seeing Brother Neville. I remember the night when it taken place. I'm supposed to stay with that communion table, seeing. Even when, look here, I ain't got time to go into, somebody's sitting here to ask it, of course, here's what it is, brother. When you got the communion, that is a representation of the body of Jesus Christ. It could be, it should be under guard all the time. Look, when Elijah said to Gehazi, take my staff, he'd bless that staff. He said, go on your road, and if anybody speaks, don't speak back. If anybody salutes you, don't salute back. Go on and lay that staff on the baby. Is that right? Stay with that staff, see? And that's what I was doing. Now, if there had not been an associate pastor here standing there, I'd got through preaching. I remember when it was. And if Brother Neville hadn't been standing here, or somebody to help that man at the altar, I just got through preaching. So I was standing at the communion table, and while they was fixing to take communion, and I was already in giving a communion, Brother Neville was just standing by, and I was ministering communion. Now, Brother Neville was standing there. What if he comes to the altar and Brother Neville was still in his sermon and he was preaching? I'd have went to the altar with him, and if he'd have got up out of the meeting while he was preaching and went to the altar, I'd see my brother was, he had the anointing of the Spirit. He was ministering. He was a minister in the, he was in the line of duty, a minister in a line of duty, and you should never let him speak with tongues, interrupt, or anyway, a minister in a line of duty. Yet, if the Holy Spirit speaks to somebody and they run to the altar to get saved, let the minister continue on with his line of duty. Let a pastor, deacon, associate, if it's an associate or any other minister, let him take to that person right quick and don't bother the minister in the line of duty, see? And I was standing behind the desk in a line of duty, giving communion, and my associate, Brother Neville, was standing by me, and a man ran up the altar. I said, go down to him, Brother Neville, and Brother Neville went down to him. That's the reason I didn't go. Now, if there had been no associate here or nothing else that went to the man, I'd have stepped off and stopped the communion and went out and seen that soul was saved, you see. But being there was somebody, he said, it would have pulled me from the line of duty, you see, where I was serving communion. What all can a person do? What all can a person do as a personal worker in dealing with a person seeking the Holy Ghost and staying scriptural? All right? Just keep quoting the Word to him. It's the best thing to do. The Word has a life. You say, brother, Jesus promised it. Remember, it is His promise. Don't shake him, push him, or move him around or something. Just don't you try to give it to him, because you can't do it. See, God will give it to him. You just keep quoting the promises over. See, keep standing there quoting the promise. God in heaven, I pray for my brother. Your promise is you'll give him the Holy Spirit. Then if you're trying to encourage him, he's saying, oh, brother pastor, brother, ever who it is around him, I want the Holy Spirit. Brother, it's a promise. God made the promise. Do you believe His promise? I don't doubt it. If you believe the promise, the Holy Spirit will come to you just at any moment now. Be expecting Him. Surrender everything you got to Him and say, Lord, I'm standing on Your promise. Now keep quoting. Now make your subject, see? Make Him keep quoting. Say, now, you tell God. Now, have you repented yet? Now say, Lord, You said, if I would repent, You were just to forgive me. You say, if I repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins, I would receive the Holy Ghost. Now, Lord, I've done that. I've done that, Lord. I have did it. I'm waiting, Lord. You promised it. See, that's the way. Just keep encouraging. Keep it around the Word. If it's ever going to come, it'll come then. Is a preacher or any Christian doing all right who doesn't believe and... Oh, is a preacher or any Christian doing all right who doesn't believe in eternal security? I see. I imagine the doing. See if you read that same as I do. Read it.
Is a preacher or any Christian doing all right who doesn't believe in eternal security?
I thought I might have that right. Now, is the preacher doing all right who doesn't believe in eternal security? I would believe that the preacher was doing, if he didn't know anything about eternal security, but if he did know it and know it to be the truth and then not preach it, he needs to be ashamed of himself. That's right. Or any Christian. Now, the Christian, I would say to the Christian that doesn't understand that too well.
That isn't an open doctrine, is it, brother? No,
no.
No,
now that's what I was getting to. Yeah, see. Now, you remember what I said last Sunday? If you are a preacher, get you a pulpit. If you're not, live your sermon. That's the best way to do that. Live your sermon. If you're a preacher, get a pulpit, see, and go preaching. If you're not, just live your sermon. Let your life be your pulpit, see. I think that takes care of a whole lot, don't you?
See?
Because a lot of times we find out, and you, brother, do that in your churches, remember, your laity sometimes tries to explain things and do things. It's best that you instruct them not to do it. And if somebody wants to know something, let them come to one of the ones instructed to do it, you see. Say, well, now, like somebody say, hey, they tell me you over at your church believes in eternal security. Now, you better watch. You're probably getting a bigger mess than you ever was in. You see, make him worse off than ever. So I tell you what, if you'll come over and ask your pastor, see, you go talk to him. See, that is true. I know our pastor believes that. I believe it also. But I'm not able to support. I'm not a preacher. I just believe it. That's all I know. I believe it. Because I've heard him explain it so out of the Bible that it's beyond any shadow of doubt to me. See, but better let the laity speak to the pastor about that, and the pastor be sure that he knows how to answer it too. So study it real good, because a lot of times they'll tie you up in it, you see.
Well,
excuse me.
I'm under conviction in a little while, but I know my calling and I've made my election sure.
Uh-huh.
You just said that if you're a preacher, you should have a pulpit.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I'm not a preacher. I'm an evangelist.
Yes, sir.
So everybody's talking
about it. That's right.
But right now, I'm working physical labor. It's not hard work, but I'm working. And I have no pulpit. But I believe that this period of work that I'm in is in the will of the Lord. He's told me to do it through the Word and witness through the Spirit. And I believe later that the pulpits will be open.
Sure. That's
right.
That's right. Brother, if you'll go back here and get the old church ledger, you'll find out that I pastored this church 17 years and preached every day. Preached every day and worked every day. See?
If you're working at the good time, you are
called. Yeah. Paul did, didn't he?
Well,
Paul made tents.
I would tend to be discouraged because, just like you said, if I'm a preacher, I should have a pulpit. I would tend to be discouraged, but I know that God told me to get a job for a season.
Sure. Paul went and made tents, didn't he? Worked with his own hands so he wouldn't have to. That's exactly.
That's
sure.
That's where I got it.
That's right. See? John Wesley said, the world is my parish. So your pulpit is still open, brother. The evangelist goes to all the world. Is that right? Going to all the world. So your pulpit's the whole world. That's it. Question. Is it ruling, R-U-L-I, is it ruling that a deacon or a trustee must abide in the doctrine of their church? Yes. That's right. Is it lawful for them to add to or take away of the teachings because of their own personal opinion or revelation? No, sir. No. A deacon or a trustee should be perfectly in harmony with the doctrine of their church. They should stay perfectly with the interpretation of the Scriptures of their church, because if they don't, they're fighting against the very thing. They're hurting themselves. See, you're battling. In other words, like if I say I love my family and try to feed them poison. See, same thing. See, you can't do that. You a trustee or a deacon and taking their office, or any officer of a church that represents a certain church body. See, that represents the church. That's the reason I walked out of the Baptist church. See? For the very first time, I'd just been in there a little bit, and they asked me to ordain some women preachers. Well, I couldn't actually stay in the job. I said, I refuse to do it. And the pastor jerked me up. What's this? You're an elder. I said, Dr. Davis, in all due respects to the Baptist faith and everything that I have been ordained to, I did not know it. It was in the doctrine of the Baptist Church to ordain women. That was one thing that was left out of it. And he said, that is the doctrine of the church. I said, sir, could I be excused tonight, or would you answer some questions for me? He said, I'll answer your questions. He said, it's your duty to be there. I said, it is, sir. That's right. I'm supposed to anticipate anything this church does. I'm a line of duty, one of the local elders. And he said, could you explain to me why that in 1 Corinthians 14 or 15 there, where Paul said, let your women keep silent in the churches. It's not permitted them to speak. And he said, well, certainly. He said, if I can answer that. He said, you see what it was that Paul said, all the women were sitting back in the corners, popping off like they do a lot of the other time. He said, don't let them do that. See? And I said, then explain 2 Timothy to me where Paul said also, the same scribe, the same apostle, said, I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp any authority. See? But to be in obedience. For Adam was first formed and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived. She's deceived. Now, I don't say she wants to do anything wrong, but she's actually deceived in it. She shouldn't be a teacher. He said, is that your personal opinion? I said, that's the Scripture's opinion to my way of seeing it. That's what the Bible said. He said, young man, you could have your license taken from you for that. I said, I'll just save him the trouble. I'll just give it, Dr. Davis. I said, not Danny disregards you. He wouldn't do it. Well, he let it go. Let it go by like that. And he told me he'd hold an open debate with me with it. And I said, all right, there's any time. But he didn't do that. So then a little later on then, when the Lord spoke to him in about that angel of the Lord came, then he just made fun of that, you see. And then I just told him, I said, well, Dr. Davis, it's best that I get rid of this right now. See, I said, because it's going to be a burden. I've just been ordained a little bit anyhow, so it's going to be a burden to me. So I just might as well get rid of it right now. So therefore, if I could not stay in the Baptist church and teach Baptist doctrine and take up for Baptist belief, if I did it just because it was a church, then I'm wrong. See, I'm hiding something back. And if I'm honest with myself, I'll go to the Baptist people, my pastor or whoever can explain it to me, and ask them for a word of life. If he can correctly show me where it's right in the Scripture and satisfies my feeling, then I'll speak it just the way they speak it, see? And I'll be a Baptist. That's the reason I am an independent. That's the reason that I do not belong to the organization, because I do not believe in organizations, and I believe it's unscriptural for an organization. Therefore, I could not belong to any organization and feel justified by doing it. See? Therefore, I do not take people in and make them members and so forth like that, because I believe we're born to be members. We're born into the church of the living God. See? We don't take people's names off the book and excommunicate them and everything like that, because I believe that's not in our duties to do that. I believe it's God does the excommunicating. See? Well, I believe that the church, if there would be a brother that was doing something wrong, for instance, if they caught Brother Neville or Brother Junior or Brother or some brother here, one of the deacons or trustees or something, doing something wrong, I believe the thing to do is for the church to get together and pray for this brother. If he still don't straighten up, then let a couple go with him. Go to the brother to be reconciled. And if they don't receive it, then tell it before the church. Then if they don't receive it, then that's the time for the whole church then. See, that's for pastor, elders, and everything else to do it. I don't believe it. Any deacon board has a right to throw anybody out of church, or any trustee board, or any pastor has a right to do it. I think if anybody was to be disfellowshipped, it would be because of immoral living or something like that, that he wasn't a fit person, like a man coming in here defiling our girls or insulting our women and things like that, and still professing to be one of us here, see? Now, if he's out somewhere else coming in, why, we have to do something about it. But when it comes to a person like that, an immoral person, trying to make love to our wives or insult our daughters or, you know, something other like that, or do something immorally around her, taking our little boys out and making perverts out of them or something, those things should be taken up, and then that fellow should be excommunicated from the fellowship and not permitted to take communion with it, because we're not supposed to do that. We're not, if any eats unworthily, is guilty of the blood and body of the Lord on that person. But I believe, just like a fellow say, well, now he's this, pray for him. I never will forget in Stockholm, Sweden, Brother Louis Petrus, great man of God, was sitting at table just a few hours before coming back to America. We had great meetings there. And he said, Gordon Lindsay said, "Who's the overseer of this great body?" Boy, it's got assemblies of God beat by hundreds of miles, you see. Say, "Who's the overseer?" And Louis Petrus, the gentleman like, he said, "Jesus." He said, "Who's your presbyters?" He said, "Jesus." He said, "I know, that's right." He said, "We believe the same thing about our assemblies of God." He said, "That's right." But said, "Say, for instance, a brother gets out of line." Said, "Who has a say-so of putting him out?" He said, "We don't put him out." Or said, "What do you do?" He said, "We pray for him." I thought that was so sweet. That sounded Christian-like to me. "We pray for him. Nobody puts him out. They pray for him." He said, "Well, then, what if some of the brothers agree?" He said, "And some of them don't want to fellowship with him anymore. Bring him in like it's a pastor. You see, it's a beginning to be a ladies' man among the, you know what I mean, and things like that. And some of the pastors won't have him in their churches. What do y'all do? Throw him out of your organization?" "No." He said, "We just let him alone and pray for him." He said, "We never lost one yet. They always come back somehow." He said, "Well," said, "now what if, said, what if some of them say that they want him and others don't want him? Now what about that?" He said, "Well, the ones that want him, take him. The ones that don't want him, don't have to." So I think that's a good way to have it, don't you, brethren? And that way, we are brethren. Now, brethren, I hope that these things have given some kind of a little show towards an answer of something that our meeting here tonight as prophet is something. I'm fixing to leave now for a while, going into the meetings out into the West. I humbly covet your prayers. Some of my answers in here, maybe many of them, maybe none of them was right. I don't know. But it would be the best that I could accumulate in my own way of thinking, you see, to try to explain it. Maybe these last ones especially come in there at last. I didn't have time to look them up. And I just didn't... It was... What I mean, there were scriptures that we go through here every time, day after day in the church. I thought maybe it'd be some great strenuous something that might cause us to get down to really have to go into something great. But it's just more like questions of churches. I'm glad to see you holding like that. There's not any disorder, not any discontent, not any confusion, not a question debated it and said it's wrong, this is wrong, we won't have it. It was just brethren want to know something to strengthen their hopes, that's all. That strengthen up, buckle up the armor a little tighter, pull another notch in it. I hope that we get to meet many more times like this. Pull up the armor. And you remember, brethren, my armor needs pulling up too. So you pray to God for me, that God will help me and pull up my armor a little tighter, that I don't get so loose with things and the life that I live and the things that I do. May I do it with more spirit of humility, more anxious to do it, and God give me a heart to do it more than I ever have had before. I pray the same thing for you all. God bless you. I've held you here a long time. It's right now 11:05. And now, Brother Neville, I found out it's only about